said, like, if you refuse to give a gift.
Okay, so we're talking about Ochle Dover Acher. Right? Ochle Dover Acher. Means people who eat, who take tzedakah, the way Rashi and Tosfos explain, people who take tzedakah from Gayim. Right? People who take tzedakah from Gayim. It's the apostle Eidus. So, Sigmar says that's only if it's by Farhasya. If they take it in private, then they're not apostle. Right? Then they're not apostle. Right? And even if they do it in Farhasya, it's only if they have the capacity to take the money Bitsina, to take the food Bitsina. And they don't, but they take it to Farhasya. And they mevaza themselves and they take it to Farhasya. But if they have no ability to do it, right, if they don't have the ability to take it, it's enough. The only way for them to do it, and they need the food, they need the money, and the only way for them to take it is bifaras, yeah? Well then, chiyusayu, then they're not apostle, then it's a livelihood, then that's okay. They're not apostle. So the question was, what's the psul altogether? Right, what's the psul altogether? So Rashi is two approaches. There's Rashi and Tosfos' pshat, or actually just Rashi's pshat, and then you have the Rambam and the Yad Ramah. Okay, Rambam and the Yad Ramah. Rashi is actually shared the Nuki Yosef agrees with Rashi. So they learn that what's the problem? They say it's a Chilul Hashem. Okay, it's a Chilul Hashem. And you're doing it. Why are you doing this, Hashem? Because of money? Because you want money? So therefore, you like Rosh Hashanah, right? You like Rosh Hashanah, because it's money. For the sake of money, you're doing a situation of Hashem. You bring out Hashem, right? But if that's why it's only Befarasya, if it's Betzin, that's not Hashem. And that's why he's saying is. That if you had if it's Farhasya, but you had no other choice, then it's Chiyusei, then it's okay. So you want to understand first of all what's a Chilul Hashem, and then what happens if it's not possible. Right? Then why is it okay? Why are you not possible? So let's just start off. What's the Chilul Hashem here? And why is it a Chilul Hashem? What's the Chilul Hashem?
Seems like the Talmud
can't figure it out. So the others are suggesting that. He creates an impression that Klal Yisrael basically is needy, and we can't take care of our own, and we're dependent upon the nations of the world to support us. Right? That's not supposed to be the impression of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be like a strong nation, Ram Hashem. So here, for you to be openly taking money from the Goyim, it's like an expression of the fact. That we're supposed to be like the nation of God, the blessed nation, and here it is. It's like an open expression of the fact that a Jew is needy and dependent upon the Masalam. So that's like counter to the way the world is supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be that Kali Yisrael is like Mamas Kohen and Vigai Kadosh. Like we're supposed to be a special nation, not the needy and dependent nation. So look, it's true. If you need tzedakah, there's always going to be individuals who need tzedakah, but so get it from the Jews. But you can't get it from the Jews. It's like making a statement. It's like it conveys the impression that the Jews themselves are weak and needy and dependent. So that state, there should be a shame in that. If you do that, so it's like making a statement to the world about the place of the Jew, which is ultimately Chilul Hashem.
Why would
I'm thinking similar to what you're saying, Israel. Tell me, you know, how you think. But that, if a guy, like you're saying, if a guy does it in private, so it shows that he doesn't really want to do it. There's like a shame in doing it. Okay, a shame. The English word shame. Like, there's like a shame. He realizes he's a Jew, and Jews are supposed to take care of themselves. But unfortunately, he got himself into a tough predicament. And whatever, he's really in need. He can't get the money from the Jews, whatever it is. So he has to take from the guy. And then in force, he's like forced to do it. But he's not doing, he's not going to publicize, he's doing it in a private, you know, discreet type of a way, because he realizes this is not the way it's supposed to be. Jews aren't supposed to be needy. This is an exception. Unfortunately, look, Jews are supposed to be a nation that has power and has ability to take care of themselves. Unfortunately, we got ourselves into a tough mess here, or whatever it is. But he's not going to do it openly, because when you do it discreetly, it's like making a statement that this is a fluke, this is an exception, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. So now, if the person sees it or thinks about it, it doesn't undermine the kavod of the Jews. It becomes like an isolated situation. But if you do it b'farhesia, it's like saying this is normal. This is just it. This is normal. So you don't just say, oh, it just is one Jew happened to do it. This is what Jews do. So it creates an impression that Klal Yisrael doesn't have a problem with it. It's like a normal type of a thing. So it's not like there's nothing intrinsically wrong with one person taking it from the guy. See, if you do a real Klal Yisrael, they could do something bad, something immoral, something unethical, that's a Klal Yisrael, one thing, because it's intrinsically wrong. But here, it's not the fact that you're taking money, it's the fact that you're creating an impression that this is a normal thing. That Klal Yisrael is, by its nature, a needy nation. Now, if you do something in private, it doesn't create that impression. If you do it in an open, flagrant way, you say that, well, you don't even have shame? Isn't that, are you, like, brazen about it? It's like it doesn't even faze you? Right? Like, if a guy was doing some sort of a crime, I don't know, whatever it was, the guy's stealing, you know, or whatever, some sort of, I don't know what the guy's doing. The guy's like, let's say a guy is starving, and he has to eat pig, okay? Something like that. He's not going to do it in public, he's doing it in private. It's true, you're starving, that's all you got, but you don't, there should be a shame about it. This is not a normal thing. You don't want people to look at you, this is a normal thing. This is totally, it's a, got myself into a tough situation. This is what has to be done. Fine, it has to be done. But you don't want to convey an impression that this is what a Jew does. You eat in public in like a open manner. It creates an impression like this is what Jews do. So the Chol Hashem comes not from the impression which is conveyed that this is normal. And that impression is only conveyed if you're mevazi nafshi, the dupa farhasya. That's what he says. Like if you could do it b'tzina, and you do it before Hasia, it shows like you're not, you're mavazi yourself. You don't care. But if you have no other choice, well, that's a good question. Let's hold on to another choice. But the other thing that is that the fact that you're doing it before Hasia is what creates that impression. Once it's done bitsina, it already undermines, it mitigates the impression. It doesn't create that impression anymore when it's done bitsina. Different than, again, if you do something unethical, Jews should never do that. Intrinsically, Jews shouldn't do something like that, and that creates an impression. Oh, a Jew could do something like that. But it doesn't mean a Jew can never be poor. A Jew can never not be supported. The question is the problem is conveying the impression that this is normal. So it only conveys the impression that it's normal if it's done in an open manner. But the problem of doing something unethical, the problem isn't conveying it's normal, it's the problem itself, that a Jew is able to do such an unethical thing. It's not that whether it's normal or not normal. Jews, Torah should be make a certain type of a person that doesn't do something like that. But it's saying Torah should make it that a person is never poor and never needs money. And look, sometimes things like that happen. There are circumstances. There are circumstances. So, but don't make it do it in the public. Doing it in public conveys the fact that it's normal. Okay? So the question now is, what is the Gemara saying? But if you have no ability to do it, Bitsina, and you're doing it for Hasya, Chiyusei. So you could ask, look, it's true you don't have the option to do it with Sinner. But bottom line is, you're doing it in public. And the impression is going to be created. Like, no one knows. Like, do people know that you had no possibility of doing it with Sinner? It's like, that's not part of what's visible. What's visible is you just walk up, let's say you walk up to the guy in the middle of the street, and you say, sir, please, can I have whatever? Now, they know. It's not like part of the visible thing whether you have the ability to do a bitsina or not. So arguably, it's still being done before Hesia, and it's still going to convey that impression. So what's the difference that it's impossible to... What does it mean, chiyusehu? Okay, chiyusehu, but it's Chol Hashem. Chol Hashem nonetheless. Right? Okay, so one answer you could say, I mean, there's a few answers I thought of this. One answer you could say, what they're saying now, is that the whole, even if it's a Chilul Hashem, but why you pasul this for Chilul Hashem? So Rashi says, oh, it's because of Chiyum and Mammon. It's an Avera because of Chiyum and Mammon. So if you're doing it because you just want more money, then fine. If you want more money, then that's a Chilul Hashem, and it's because of Chiyum and Mammon. But if you mamish have nothing else, no other way to get the money, and you're doing it because of your livelihood, your sustenance, that's not Chiyum and Mammon. But if you have other ways to do it, and now you're just doing this because this is more efficient, or because whatever, well, then that's Chiyum and Mammon. Then you have another way to do it, so it must be why you're doing it this way. So it must be, it's like, this is somehow going to be easier, quicker, better, you want to get pick up the money? So it's like, once it becomes that you've got your back against the wall, and you need food, you could argue then it's not Chiyum and Mammon. Yeah, that's one answer. The other answer is, I mean, the Mukhi Yosef says that it's not, you're right, Enochanami, maybe, see, according to, he said basically, is it's true, it's going to still be Chiyum, it's still going to be Chilul Hashem, but it's V'chaibahem. He says is, that the halacha is V'chaibahem, there's no halacha, that not to create this impression, you have to die to not create this impression. Right? I mean, it's interesting, because Chilul Hashem, you know, you often say, you're Chilul Hashem Shemayim, you don't, you give your life for Chilul Hashem. But apparently he's holding that V'chai Bahem applies here. It's not like you're doing like a flagrant Chilul Hashem, like saying Torah. This type of a thing, you're creating an impression, you're not allowed to create that impression. But it undermines the covet of the Jew. But it's not like a Chilul Hashem, like the type of Chilul Hashem that you have to give your life for. Right? I mean, the big three. Look, every very Chilul Hashem. But yeah, but there's your life is on the line. So when your life is on the line, so the halacha is only for the big three. But this is not one of that like that. This is just taking undermining the cover of the Jew in the world. Okay, fine. You're not supposed to do that. But when it comes to your life is on the line, you don't have any other way to live. So you're saying you're not mechuyev to give your life for that, right? Which is also a good answer. I'm not sure if you can't say also is that somehow that is part of what's manifest. Like, it's not manifest, but it could be there's, like, a person who's, like, totally brazen about something. If you could do it in private, you do it in public, that's what part of the Chilul Hashem is. Chilul Hashem comes from the fact that, known, the guy could have done it in private, and does it in public, so it shows that it's normal. But if just the nature of the situation is that you can't do it, there's no other way to do it, so then it doesn't create that impression. Like, it could be, like Rashi, like the Gemara says, it's come a vazi nafshe to do it. You could do it in private, and you're going to be vazi nafshe. So it could be that, like, it comes off. That's, like, part of the way it appears, is the guy is brazen about it. But if you have no other option, then it's not going to look like, oh, you could have done it in private. No, you couldn't have done it in private. Why would you think you could have done it, you know? So it's like, it could be that's the nature of what the Chilul Hashem is, that the guy bypasses the private thing and does it in public. But once there is no option like that, then he doesn't create that impression because he's not bypassing a private way to do it. So, that's a different way to say. Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be in the Magus of all that. He's saying, look, it is a problem, it's just a chayvon. So, I don't know, different ways to go. So the Rambam learns differently. And the Arama goes this way also. So this is an Eidos Yud Alephei. Okay. It says, V'chein ha-bezuyim sulun le'edos v'ndevrayim. So there's a Darabanan psol. Interesting. It's all in the Darabanan. Of a guy who's a mevuzim. Bezuyim. The degraded, lowly guys. The same people who eat in the streets. They walk naked in the streets. They're not makbid on boshas. Because those people are considered like a dog. And they're not makbid on any of this. So therefore, they're not makbid on any of the shaker. Right? You call Eilu Chashuvim Kekelev, Eina Makbidim on any of the shaker. Shaker. Right? U'mechlal Eilu Ha'uchlin Tztaka Shal Gai Mefarhesya. Afal Pi She'ef Shalem She'ezon Omeyem Betzina. So even though they could sustain themselves Betzina, Mevazin Asma Lekach. Eina Choshuvim, they don't care. They just mevazin themselves. Kol Eilu Psalm Dereh. So he's not saying it's into Chilul Hashem. It has to do with his category of Bezuyim. So it's a funny din. Bezuyim apostolatus. Since they're not makbid on boshas, therefore, they're also not makbid on Eid HaShekhar. They're like a dog, and they're not makbid on Eid HaShekhar. What does that mean? It's a funny, and this is a psul derabanan, so it's apparently deraisa. There's no psul like this. Rabbanan created this psul. So what's the idea of the psul? Before we get to, you know, there's the extension of it to our case. But I think before we do our case about getting fed from, you know, from Goyim, let's start with the easier case, I guess, than the primary case, which is the people who are, let's say, walking around naked or something like that, or eating in public like a dog. You know, right? So now I feel like it's not really, I don't know if it's true these days, but getting around naked in public, maybe not. I'm not sure. Strange, right? You wouldn't really think of a guy if he's eating in front of people that looks bad, but, you know? Yeah, I mean, there goes my minutes for exam, so it's so simple. Shami. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Let's leave that. Leave that alone, not eating in the street. But let's say a guy walks around naked in the street or something like that. So he's no boshas. Right? Okay, so why does that mean he's supposed to like this? Just because he's not embarrassed doesn't mean that he's going to lie in court. Right? It's also to lie in court. It's not also to be naked. I mean, it's not a chavod, but it's like there's no technical issue that he's violating, I don't think. Gemara there, it's in Kedushin. It's Memavis at the bottom. It says, Otanorana, Ochal b'shokar is a dom al-kalav. Someone who eats in the street is like a dog. Send them to a dog. Yeshomim pasaleidus. Some say it's pasaleidus. And I'm Ravavi the Baravan, Halach Yeshomim, Halach is like them. Right? So Rashi says, pasaleidus, the kivan de'eno minha yeshov. Since he's not part of the civilization, ain't a makved al atzma. He's not makved about himself. Ain't laboshes panim. He doesn't have. Oh, I'm sorry. That's talking about a different guy. That's the guy who doesn't learn. So he's not many yeshuv. Okay, whatever. Different issue. V'chein ha'ochal b'shok. Hold the ain't a makved al kavodo. Since he's not makved on his kavod, ain't a bosh lezazal atzma. Really pasal. He's not embarrassed to degrade himself and to apostle himself. Right, so he has it also, Rashi, right? Alright. One second. One thing that's interesting is Minatorah, he's kashalate this, right? So why is he kashalate this Minatorah? He doesn't care about his own respect. So probably because of what I'm saying. It's true he doesn't care about his own respect, but he cares about the Tzvar Hashem, cares about the Tzivu Hashem, right? Just because you don't care about your own respect and dignity doesn't mean you're going to violate Nizar. So you're a Jew, you're a Kosher. How you don't care about your own respect? Fine. So you don't care about your own respect, but the bottom line is, there's a Nizar, there's a Tzivu Hashem, you're not allowed to lie, you're not allowed to testify falsely in court. So the Raisa is that just because you're Mavuzah doesn't mean you're going to lie. But what's the Darabanan then? Okay, so maybe I just want to... Yeah, okay. Okay, so maybe one step further is that there's two reasons why a guy could keep halacha. One is because Hashem sent him. Right? He's a kosher yid. He follows Torah mitzvahs. Hashem sent him, so he'll do it. And that's a great reason. It's the reason. Right? But another reason is because there's social consequences. Right? You live in the Torah society. And if you don't keep Torah mitzvahs, then it's embarrassing. You're gonna get a bad reputation. There's a person who cares about the way his reputation. And you live amongst Jews, you live amongst Torah society. You don't want to be known as the variant. Right? So, this guy doesn't have that. He doesn't care about his reputation. He's walking around like a fool. Right, he's doing whatever, he's like an animal, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if people look at him, he's like a dog. Right? He doesn't care about that. So like Minatorah, Yecheskes Kashrus doesn't come from the social. Minatorah, Yecheskes Kashrus comes from the fact that you're a Kashrus Yid, you're a Mekabel Torah. You're a Jew, you keep a halacha. So Yecheskes Kashrus, which is tied to objective philosophical factors, right, or a commitment to the Dvar Hashem. Right, every Jew is assumed that he keeps the Dvar Hashem. This guy doesn't care about social things. Okay, so he's a social misfit. You have a lot of people with social problems, but Klapei Shmaya, he's fine. Like, obviously he's not that fine, he's got some issues or whatever. But whatever, that doesn't mean, I mean, like, everyone has issues. Doesn't mean that you're apostle like this. Doesn't mean you're gonna violate Losan Berecha Yitzchakeh. But the Rabbanon said that we don't trust the person's pure philosophical commitment to halacha. But rather, we demand. Yeah, we don't trust the person's pure philosophical commitment to halacha, but his chezkas kashrus demands the support of his psychological, of his superego, of his desire to be accepted by people. In other words, most people are not at a level where purely based on, like, lishma, purely based upon their recognition of God, they're going to keep Torah mitzvahs. But most people are at a level where the social plays a major role. Right? Like Chazal say, halavai, a person's fear of God should be like the fear of people. Right? Much easier to control yourself to not do an avera if there are people around. If you're in private, all of a sudden it's not so hard anymore. You see, most people, that their fear of man is much as a major, major force in their life, arguably stronger than the fear of God. So what it's saying is that the Rabbanon said that your chezkas kashrus as an aid is dependent upon your psychological boshas, your psychological desire as well. Even though Mikra din in a Torah, the intrinsic system of Torah is nothing to do with the psyche. Why should a person keep Torah? Because of people or because of God? Because of God. So intrinsically, the chezkas kashrus comes from true acceptance. But the Rabbanon said, look, we're at a level. The Am, I don't know, maybe there's a time where we were at such a level, but basically the Am is not at such a level. And the Rabbanon said, once a guy is doesn't care about people, then we don't trust him anymore. His Cheskes Kashos is now is contingent. They made this Cheskes Kashos contingent upon the social. And that's what it's saying is, he's not Machbet on Boshas, and he's considered like a dog. It means in his eyes, he's like a dog, he doesn't care. It's like he treats, acts like a dog. He has no sense of human dignity. Right? That's what it means, like a dog. He doesn't have a certain sense of human dignity. Once he doesn't have a sense of human dignity, he doesn't care about the way he looks. I mean, you don't care if you're like a dog, and you don't care about anything. You don't care about if people look at you. You don't care about that. Now, then it's saying is, right, then he says, right? Again, I don't think he means definitely, because it is possible to have a guy who cares because he cares. But that's what the Rabbanon is, that we don't rely upon that. Rabbanon took the Chezkas Kashos and said that it depends upon being bolstered by the psychological Chezkas Kashos, by psychological superego, which keeps him in check. But once a guy's superego breaks down, then he's totally willing to just be like a dog. He doesn't have any sense of dignity. Then we're totally relying upon this philosophical appreciation of that's true. There is a thing like that. And just because he's got psychological issues doesn't mean he doesn't have a connection to God. But that level is a level that Rabbanon were not relying upon. And that's what Rabbanon said. Once he's bezuyim, he's pasulins. Okay, so the question now, which I would argue is Machlokas Rashi and Rambam, is does this extend to a guy who takes tzedakah from Gaim, the Farhasim? Rambam extends it. Rambam says that's his result, that's what our Gemara is saying. Why is a guy who takes money from Gaim and Farhasim apostolate? Just because of this. He's like a guy who eats a dog, he's like a dog, Mechlal Eloch and tzedakah shagayim Farhasim. Right? So that's the Rambam's Chiddush. Now Rashi agrees that a guy who eats in the street or whatever is possible, that's the Gemara in Kedusha. But yet, when it comes to this taking a tzedakah from Gaim, he invokes a totally different reason of Chal Hashem. So apparently he holds, he doesn't buy the fact that you could equate the dog street eater with this guy. So that's the question, what's that machlokas? Okay? Now, before, I just want to make another point before we'll get to that tomorrow, I think. But I just want to make a point. The Gemara in Kedushin, I think it's two steps. The first sheet that says Domo Lakela. That's just saying psychologically is Domo Lakela. It's making a statement about the person. The fact that he's willing to eat in the street means he lost his human dignity. But then the Yesh Omrim are saying, the once that is the case, he's possible. Right? Those are two steps. Right? So that's... What's that? So the Yesh Omer saying he's apostle Adis means that they agree that he's Domo Lakela. They're just saying is that Domo Lakela isn't just a psychological statement, but it also has a halachic import. That the value of assessing him psychologically, it's not just a psychological statement, but the Chazkas Kashros of Adis is the Rabbanan made contingent upon his psychological health and psychological sense of dignity. So once you're Cheshuv and Kekelev, Yesh Omer, and right? But that's what they're. It's not. It's the argument is arguably the Tanakhama, whoever said it, is not saying that. He's not going there. He's just saying straight up. He's probably he's done with Kegelov, which is psychologically he's done with Kegelov. It doesn't have a halachic import vis-a-vis Edus. But that's what the Yeshomim are saying. It does. Yeah. Okay. So again, so for tomorrow, I'd like to take up that other, you know, the next thing, Machlokas. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's like a guy won't lie in court because he's afraid he's going to get caught and he's going to be embarrassed and he's going to be looked at as a charlatan. So that's why he won't do it. Now, once a guy doesn't care if he looks like a dog, if he whatever, then maybe he'll lie in court. It's wrong. Yeah. People aren't so concerned as much about what's wrong as much as how it will affect your reputation. Right?